Brooke, I have some big news.
Okay.
The Moms on Maui summer dates yes. are live, and this will be the last Moms on Maui of 2024. So super stoked about it.
Yeah.
And it's just an incredible experience. I mean, you can tell people about it more than I can because I'm not allowed to come. Actually,
yeah, it is. It's so fun. It really is. So we've got two back-to-back weeks up of dates in July. So it's July 11 through 16 and then 18 through 23. So you can apply for which week works for you, or you can apply and check both boxes and say either works. Yeah. I just want to be there. I'm so excited about doing Moms on Maui again this year, because obviously last year when I did it, it was great. It was fun. It was all the things. Yep. But I feel like since then I have learned a lot and had some more ideas, and I have some surprises up my sleeve, and I'm just like, let's do it.
Yeah, there are literally boxes of goodies around us right now for Moms on Maui.
Yes.
The April ones that are coming out.
Yes. But
the July dates are live. You can find those at walkandlove.com/momsonmaui, or go to the show notes or just go to our website and click on Moms on Maui.
Yeah.
Apply today, because spots are extremely, extremely limited.
Yes.
Go apply today. Hello and welcome to the Walk and Love podcast. I'm TJ.
And I'm Brooke.
And today we are going to talk about... How would you describe the category?
I don't know. I almost just said we're going to talk about guns, which sounds not at all like what we're actually going to talk about.
That'll make a lot more sense as the episode
goes on. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for making us a part of your week. The Walk and Love podcast is a weekly conversation between Brooke and I about rhythms, emotions, parenting, faith. It's a place where we laugh and sometimes cry as we try to find language to live a full life.
Yes, and if you like your listening to line up with your living, then you are in the right place.
Welcome to Gun Talk.
Sit down, everybody.
Guns and Grunge Sponge.
Grunge Sponge took a hiatus.
They played a matinee the other day.
And I thought, they're gone. They're done. Sponge has shriveled. It's done. No.
It's all dried up.
They rehydrated it twice last week. One time. Yes, it was during the day. It was literally like 2:30 in the afternoon. And I was like,
not a fan of the matinee showing.
Okay.
The sponsor of the Walk and Love podcast is us. It's ways that you guys can support the podcast, since we don't do any paid ads on the podcast. And this is the ultimate time to support the podcast. Mm-hmm. The advertisement for today is... the Christmas collection. It's live right now, and it might be the best one we've ever
done. It's really good. And I, because I photographed two different people this week just so I could have some like other content for emails and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And one of them has been in pictures before. And so she was like, oh man, this is like some really good stuff. And I was like, okay, I know that every time I'm like, oh, it's really good stuff. And it's true. I mean it every time. Because we wouldn't put it out if it wasn't good stuff. Right. But there is something extra special about this Christmas collection. Yeah. And I'm into it.
Tons of items, lots of new designs. We got sweatpants, we got sweatshorts, we got some kids stuff, we got kids sweatsuits. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance that we'll never do kids sweatsuits again.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Just because, you know, it's...
We're not a kids brand.
We're not a kids brand, yeah.
Yeah.
So tons of great stuff. The shop will be open October 1st through the 10th. And that's the time to get in your order. And then they'll ship like late November. Mm-hmm. So you'll have plenty of time for Christmas. And we're super excited about the collection. It's our biggest launch of the year.
Yeah.
And so if you could please activate.
Mm. Holy Spirit, activate. All right, let's go.
And shop the collection as a podcast listener would mean the world to us. And so go do that now. Buy gifts for your friends, your family, strangers on the street, whoever you meet. buy a gift, buy a t-shirt for every single person you ever meet.
There.
I think
that should
fair.
Do it.
I think it's a fair ask.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say is that we did bring back the secret message tees.
Oh, yes.
And I, you know, we did this a decade ago. Mm-hmm. The idea is, since you can't watch what we're doing, is that it looks like a blank shirt from the outside.
Yeah.
And you flip it up and the person wearing
it. You flip the hem, like the bottom part. Yeah.
Upside down. So we've printed on the inside of the shirt, but don't worry, you like can't feel it while you wear it.
Yeah.
And it reads, I love you, to the person reading it.
Yeah.
And so the reason behind this shirt is that there are husbands out there, boyfriends, dads.
Yeah.
maybe sons that wouldn't wear, like you wouldn't buy them a shirt that's like, I love you on it for them to wear. But you also sometimes just don't know what to buy them.
Yeah.
Like Alyssa always, Alyssa will ask me, what should I buy Jeff? Because anything he knows about, he just buys for himself.
Right.
So now I know that in my head, and every now and then I'll text her and be like, hey, I think you would like this, you know? Yeah. And so like there are guys out there who are hard to shop for because they just buy what they need for themselves, or they just like don't want slash need a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the Secret Message tee is the perfect gift for that. It's a super comfortable mid-weight vintage wash tee with a pocket. And it's also just like such a sweet reminder for someone you love.
Yeah.
And so every time they wear it and they walk around in it, they know who gave it to them and what it says to them.
Yeah.
And I was kind of surprised, like when we brought it back and I posted sort of the first teaser stories of it, it was such like an endearing moment on Instagram for us because we got all these DMs that were basically like, I bought this for my boyfriend, who has now been my husband for X amount of years.
Yeah.
I bought this for my fiance, and now we've been married this many years and have this many kids. And and then when I like reshared one of those and was like, this is so awesome. And then that one was like, oh, that's the same for me, same for me, same for me. So very cool Christmassy gift styled shirt.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of other stuff in the shop. Shop.walkinlove.com. Since you're a podcast listener, you get an extra special discount with the code 1 million, all spelled out O-N-E-M-I-L-L-I-O-N, 1 million, because we just surpassed a million listens on the podcast. So we're celebrating with the discount code for the collection and just because you're an amazing podcast listener.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that I was in a spelling bee one time?
Mm.
I got fourth place.
Wow.
I got out on the word dangerous.
I did know that actually, yes.
And I carry that with me wherever I go.
I think that's appropriate.
So here's the thing, though. If you got out on third place, like say I'm in third place and I go first and I get the word wrong.
Yeah.
The next person goes. If he gets the word wrong, I'm still in. Then the next person goes. If he gets the word wrong, then we're all still in.
Okay.
Because like you don't get eliminated.
This once you're in third. It. Yeah.
And I got out of, I was four.
Oh, man. Yeah,
devastating.
Yeah.
My big head clunking down those stairs.
Yeah. Did you fall head first?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I went down all stairs when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Just clunk, 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 clunk.
Like a slinky.
Sort of like a slinky, but just like more brain, more damage, head damage.
I don't think I was ever in anything official. I think like within our classroom, we probably did like, I sort of remember standing at the front during like certain spelling lessons, but it was never like a thing. I don't think there were even rules like what you're saying. I think it was just, we stood in the front.
Oh, ours was in the auditorium.
Oh, wow.
My mom was there.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
It is intense. And I got fourth. I got out on the word dangerous. I spelled it D-A-N-G-E-R-U-S. Like an
dangerous.
Idiot. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I came off the stage and my mom goes, you're an idiot. Get that big head in the car. We're going home.
Climbing through the trunk.
Yeah. Climbing through the trunk. You know you don't fit through the doors. All right. So, Brooke, how was your week?
I'm just picturing you having to climb in through the trunk every time.
It's too big.
It like doesn't fit through the sliding door.
Oh, I've been telling Uncle, speaking of trunks, I've been telling Uncle Michael stories to the girls. We went to Chick-fil-A. Brooke had photos. So I took the girls to Chick-fil-A this week. And My youngest brother, his name's Michael, Uncle Michael now. And now that's all everyone.
That's all everybody calls him. Even we call him Uncle Michael. I think it just sounds fun.
He was adopted from the motherland. So he might be a covert spy waiting to be activated. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah.
I'll keep you guys posted if my brother ends up being a spy.
Yeah.
And he was a little bit of a wildling when he was a little feral. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
He was... No, not a little. He was wildly feral when we adopted him.
Yeah.
Sweet kid. But just
but what, seven?
Seven, six or seven, somewhere in there. So first things first, he, I guess, you know, in Russia, in an orphanage, you're void of all color.
Right.
So the first thing that he did when he lived here was like attach himself to this bright pink windbreaker. Woman's windbreaker.
Yeah.
And I think it was just like color exists.
It was just like,
and I'm
wow.
Wear it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a kid on the playground made fun of that color, and Michael punched him, threw him to the ground, kicked him, and then spit on him.
That adds up. That's the motherland.
Don't mess with Russia.
No, don't. Mm-mm.
So lots of great Uncle Michael stories.
But speaking of trunks.
One time we were driving back from church, the whole family. Michael's only a few months into being adopted.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in the back of Cirilla, which is my parents', which is my family's 1985 Volkswagen Vanagon that my dad bought a few months after I was born.
Yeah.
And it's still in the family.
Yeah. And still in the garage.
Still in the garage. Still drives. Not a great driving experience, but it still drives.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my dad
I can see the road through a hole in the floor, but it's like...
That's fine. That's called drainage, babe.
Yeah. Makes sense.
My dad will probably send me some text messages about how good Cirilla has been to us. Dad, please send the photos. All the photos you have of Cirilla, we'll post them on the Walk and Love Facebook page. There have been some parents' photos sending to me that have ended up on the page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a weekly thing now where they send me photos after the episode.
And then you get to update.
And I get to post them there. So send them away, Dad, and I'll post them. And then when I come back to Pennsylvania in October, I will teach you how to join the Facebook page so you can be a regular contributor.
Yeah.
Same for you, Mom. Okay. So we're driving home from church. Cirilla takes a turn. The trunk pops open. Obviously, that just happens with a 1985 Volkswagen Vanagon named Cirilla. And Michael rolls out
because he's car. Literally he's like in the trunk.
Yeah, like there
trunk.
Weren't enough seats.
Yeah,
it's you know the early 2000s. Safety isn't that big of a concern. You know, none of us are in car seats or anything like that. So like you know, he's the youngest at 6 or 7. He rolls out of the back onto the road. Rolls onto the road. We keep driving. Steph yells, "Oh my word, Michael fell out of the back of the car." My dad stops. We all turn. You would think like rolling out of the back of the car would have dazed you or left you like maybe sitting on the side of the road. Not Michael.
Nope.
Not Uncle Michael. He is in a full sprint as fast as his little legs.
Which is fast.
Yeah. His little He's Russian legs can take him.
Speedy little kid.
Jumps into the car through the open trunk, climbs over the seat, sits in a seat, and puts a seatbelt on.
Uh-huh.
And I would think, again, you know, his English was so-so at the time.
Mm-hmm.
My only thought is that he was like, This is it.
I'm going to be left behind.
This family is abandoning me. And they didn't have the heart to tell me to my face. They just tricked me into sitting in the trunk, and I was going to roll out. Oh, man. I told that one to him. And it's fun, like... It's really fun telling your kids stories about your childhood.
Oh, and they love
it. They love it. And so it's just an encouragement to parents out there to be like, you know, ask me a question about my childhood or let me tell you about a story when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Because that's what June is right now. Yeah. The other one I told him was Uncle Michael was so confident in his ability to swim when he came to America.
Yeah.
There was like, we adopted him in the winter, so there wasn't an opportunity to swim, except our high school had a like pool night, community pool night that you come and swim in the pool that like the swim
indoor,
team is.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's telling us he can swim, no problem. His adopted sister Victoria is telling us she can swim. They're great swimmers, like no problem. We get changed in the locker room. Of course, he takes off. You know, we're not quite ready. We come racing after him out of the locker room. He jumps straight into the deep end and sinks like a stone to the bottom. Could not swim at all. Not even like a second on top.
Right. Just literally to the bottom.
Right to the bottom. Steph dived in and saved him. Think my thought is that wherever they swam at.
Yeah, he could touch.
He could touch.
And so he's thinking, I can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my word.
Uncle Michael was a big hit this week. How was your week?
My week was good. My week was busy. Did we record last Sunday? Has it really been we've been like flip-flopping days. And so I'm trying to remember, was it truly a week? I think it was a week. Yeah.
Lot of computer time this week.
A lot of computer time, a lot of making video time. It was like homeschool light.
Yeah. Homeschool light, gym light.
Anything else light because all we were doing was collection prep. Which like, you know, anytime we have a collection, it takes up a lot of our time, but this one is all, it's just so big.
So much stuff.
So many items.
Speaking of, if you're a photographer out there that wants to work for us as our product photographer,
DM
me. TJ Macedas, not Walk in Love. It'll get lost.
Yeah.
At TJ Macedas. DM me on Instagram. Okay. So go. Cool. Continue.
DM and maybe have some proof that you can do it.
Yeah. Don't just DM me and be like, I love taking pictures.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. You're kind. And I like that. But that's.
Yeah. I need a qualified product photographer.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like.
Mom and dad, you cannot apply.
I feel like that was most of my week. Yeah. Last Sunday was Daisy's birthday.
Yep.
And did we talk about it?
I don't know.
So now I'm confused as to when we recorded.
No memory.
But yeah, her birthday was really, really sweet. And we went to the beach that evening, which was really fun. I can't remember if we talked about
it. I think
we did. Did we? I don't know. Sweet be there. I'll never know. I did nothing else. And I say that with no weirdness, but just like, I don't even think I have a single story to tell or anything because I was at my computer a lot.
More so you were in our bedroom recording videos.
Yeah. I mean, doing some computer work.
Speaking of, I have a game changer.
Okay.
Now that I think about it.
Okay.
I don't think I have, do I have the game changer audio?
I think you do. Cause I feel like I heard the girls play it the other day.
Oh, the girls love. Oh yeah. Here we go.
Game changers. Changes to the game such that the game can never be played the same way again.
My game changer. And there's going to be just like a small sliver of our audience that is like, I feel this on a deep spiritual level.
Okay.
I edit videos on Adobe Premiere.
Right. That's the program.
And they just had a big update. For years, Adobe Premiere, when you imported iPhone footage, it would like turn into this like weird, overexposed,
like whacked out color situation.
Yeah. Color gobbledygook.
Yeah.
And so I would always have to edit iPhone video on my phone.
Yeah.
Because every time you did it, like, and there were some fixes online that you could find, but none of them were like that great. And so my game changer is Adobe has fixed that issue. Mm-hmm. And so I can just import iPhone video into,
and it looks right.
It looks right. And then it exports right. And so that has probably saved me hours. And actually, I don't think it's saved me any hours of work because it's made me actually create more video.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to do it on my computer or with my mouse. So that's my game changer. That's my collection game changer. Do you have one? It's okay if you don't.
Unfortunately, this is a game changer. And then I'm like, oh, bummer. I've got that habit now. I don't think I can drink a coffee now without some sort of sweet cream on top.
Yeah.
Which was already my move when it came to Starbucks drinks. I've gone through many Starbucks drinks over the years. I feel like I pick one for about a year.
And then you get over it.
Year and a half at a time. And then I'm kind of like, meh, I'm over it. Yeah. And then I switch. So I, you know, started off even drinking coffee.
Java chip cappuccino. That was mine.
Well, I got you in on that. Okay. Well, let me go back that far.
How old are you?
Oh, I would have been younger.
Yeah.
Cause I remember Uncle Rich did it for me.
Okay.
And
I was actually
just thinking about this trip and I was like, cause I've been thinking about our kids and how all the nieces and nephews are getting older. And I was just like thinking about myself with my cousins. There was a time when, so one set of my cousins and my uncle in North Carolina, we saw them a lot. I probably saw them the most. Kate is probably the closest thing I had to a sister growing up, my cousin. And so we saw them a lot. And so they came up for something. I can't remember the exact timeline, but like they came up and
Flag
then they
day.
Were coming up again from
Flag
North Carolina.
Day Arbor Day.
Right. No, there was like a 10-day window. And instead of, I can't remember it exactly, but I went back to North Carolina with them. Kind of last minute, like just me.
Whoa.
I can't remember the specifics, but that was not the plan. And then it was like, sure, why don't you go down? But I would have been at least I was probably homeschooled. So maybe like seventh or eighth grade. And I'm pretty sure he had a convertible at the time.
Oh, cool.
So I think we went.
A baton case right in the back.
Oh, right in the back. Sparkles shining in the sunlight. And so. Anyway, where am I going with the story? Oh, he's the one. So I don't know. So seventh or eighth grade would have been the first time I like tried coffee.
Okay.
Like hot coffee. Because before I would have only ever tried it at like a restaurant or for my parents. And my famous description as a little kid that my parents still talk about is that I said it tasted like drinking burnt popcorn.
Right.
Which it kind of does. If you get
drink it black. So it's like hot bean water.
Yeah.
Gross.
And then they didn't always drink it black though. Okay. And then, so Aunt Grinch is like, well, you're not doing it the right way. And he's like Mr. Coffee Espresso. Like he knows what's okay. up. So he makes me something. And then
he drives a convertible. Don't worry about you.
Don't worry about him. He's fine. And then, he puts so much dark chocolate in it. So it's basically like a liquid mocha. And he was like, try that. And so I did day one. And he would like just lessen it. So I learned to drink coffee with chocolate in it.
Okay.
So here's where I'm going. I then learned to lessen that. But like when I was in high school, which would have been 2000 to, are you in high school for, is it actually a 5-year date? Do you know what I'm saying? I graduated in 2005.
I was in high school from 1999 till 2003.
Is that 5 years or 4 years?
That's 4 years.
No, I know, but like, so it is four, even though you graduated in the following year.
Kids, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six kids.
Yeah, we got them all. Now the kids in the background, I'm 7. Anyway, I graduated in 2005. It was like not a thing to go to Starbucks. No. Like at all. Yeah. There was do you remember Prince Street Cafe opened when I was in high school? But you know what Prince Street Cafe
is.
Not in high school.
Yeah.
I used to go here and there, like very rarely.
Coffee until we.
I know. This is apparently our coffee timeline. Okay. I'm talking about it. So then I went to college. And there
got hooked on the juice.
Got hooked on the juice. There was a Starbucks in some of the like, what do you call the big buildings on campus? Campus buildings? I don't know what they're called. I was gonna say dorms, and that's not right. I don't know, like the big place where you went. See, guys, I didn't graduate from there.
Well, you thought there were 5 years of high school. So.
No, I know there's not 5 years of high school. I'm not even gonna. Anyway, somebody gave me, I think he was trying to like
a student center?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, somebody gave me a white, so now still hot drinks.
Okay.
White chocolate mocha. So I'm now switching chocolates, okay?
Did I hear a line in there that some guy was trying to flirt with you?
I think that's what happened because I literally don't even know his name. I was in a video editing class and I learned to edit video on Final Cut Pro. And in this class, I had to edit on whatever else would have been a thing at the time. And it was so stressful for me because I feel like, I remember thinking like, I know how to do this actually quite well.
Right.
And so I was so irritated that I couldn't like.
That just grinds your gears.
Oh, do you know how much? See? Oh man. Y'all even know.
You're working through something right now.
I am. This poor kid is like, I'm going to try to help her. Also, she's kind of cute. That was the vibe.
Also, one of my ongoing jokes is that anytime Brooke mentions any non-related male human in her past, they say, I'll fight him.
Yeah.
Who is he? I'll fight him.
I'll find him. I'll kick him to the ground and spit on him. Michael style. Uncle Michael style.
First, let me put my pink windbreaker on, and then I'm ready to go.
Yeah. So I thought, this is delicious. I mean, it's basically just sugar liquid at that point when you're white chocolate. So I went from white chocolate at high school or college to Starbucks white chocolate when I switched colleges and I was going to the community college, where I would drive there every day.
Right,
and so in between classes, I would go sit at like a Barnes & Noble or somewhere.
So cool.
I was like,
kids don't know what they're missing.
I'm like
these
a photography student and I like look at photography books on my break and I journal. I should journal. And so now I'm in the white chocolate phase for a long time. We got married in white chocolate phase. That was like my drink. Okay. Then, because I remember drinking them like a lot when we had our first kiosk.
Okay.
Or second kiosk. Probably the second one. Yeah. The one in the center. Was that only? We had two in the center. Okay. Center of the mall. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, then I started to make the switch to not need as much sweetener stuff. But you jumped in at some point here and I said, do what I did. Uncle Rich has a Corvette. Not a Corvette. I don't know. Convertible. He says start with chocolate. So I got you started on the Java chip Frappuccino.
Which also fits. Cold drinks are my brand.
Yes. And so I have heavily switched from hot drinks
hot drink
to cold drinks. So I went from that. Then I did a coconut thing for a while. Then I just switched to a vanilla latte. Like when we were at Supply, vanilla latte was my drink. Yeah. Okay. And then I switched to cold stuff. So it was just like a cold vanilla, like an ice latte.
Yep.
Then I switched to that oat milk cinnamon thing that was fantastic.
Yep.
Then I learned oat milk is basically drinking canola oil. So I stopped that.
Which is why it was so fantastic.
So delicious and creamy. Then I switched.
I love the journey we're on right
now. To the coconut milk. Because I was like, well, it's better than the oat milk. But the coconut milk is not my favorite flavor. Right. It has grown on me and I can do it now. But when I first started, I had to get the sweet cream. Full circle, everybody.
Now, here's a quick question for you. So you don't know how to edit videos on any sort of software. So if you need me to teach you anything, just let me know.
Here's the thing. I could probably figure out Procreate now. No, not Procreate. That's the drawing app.
Yeah.
What's Premiere. Sorry. No problem. But that's because all of the programs now all work way more similarly to each other. Like they all kind of have the same functions. Like I've literally sat down at your computer and I know the keyboard shortcuts.
Okay.
Oh, stop it. I know more keyboard shortcuts than you do. Oh, guys. Heartburn is real.
All right. So now what's your current drink?
So my current drink at Starbucks is an iced latte with coconut milk. No sweetener.
No sweetener.
No sweetener because the sweet cream on the top functions as my sweetener. It's enough.
Yeah.
So now I've thought, well, I could probably make that at home.
Yep.
That's a risky thing to do.
Because we make like 90% of our lattes at home. 95.
Not, yeah.
99.
A lot of our lattes. And a lot of lattes. Go ahead. You're going to make a joke.
A lot of lattes.
A lattes.
I just love recording the podcast. Okay. That's my strong feeling this week.
Okay.
I'm just a big fan of Brooke.
So anyway,
if you're a big fan of Brooke, smash that like button, subscribe.
Comp the merch.
Get the merch.
Shop's open.
Shop's open.
I now have invented, what an invent, but I have, guys, I'm the inventor of coffee. I now have a cinnamon sweet cream and I have a salted maple sweet cream. And I don't think I will ever drink a coffee without it again. I'm sorry. So
okay, you don't have to apologize. And you're perfecting your recipe for Moms on Maui.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we will have the Moms on Maui 2024 dates up soonish.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say V soon. I'm going to say soonish.
Soonish.
Because Moms on Maui is like 10 days away. 12 days.
Today's the 1st. They arrived the 12th.
I was
in high school for 5 years. So does that make me?
You're never going to live that one
down. You still, can you just admit with me for a split second that you were tracking with me?
It doesn't make, I know what you're saying. Cause like if you go.
Cause I guess what I'm saying. Yeah.
Cause
yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm saying two different things.
I finished my freshman year with the class of 2000 and then I graduated in 2003, which would make it seem like you're only in high school for 3 years.
Right.
But I entered high school in 1999.
So my question is, when did I enter high school?
You graduated in 2005?
Yeah.
So you would have started your senior year in 2004.
Yes.
2003, your junior year started in 2002. Your sophomore year was 2001.
Right.
2000?
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That sounds like 5 years.
No, 2001.
See, you did what I just did.
I did it wrong.
So you can't make fun of me anymore.
No, I will. 100%.
Okay. Anyway, I got a massage this week. That's kind of literally the only other thing I did.
Yeah.
It was yesterday and I can barely lean my back against this office chair right now. So we're doing real good.
It would mean a lot to me. Well, actually it does mean a lot to me because this has happened already. I'm so thankful for the messages and DMs we get that people are like, this content that you're doing is really good. Or this, like, I can see all the videos you're editing. So thank you. Those few people that have messaged.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that because we have definitely been like grinding at the computers a lot, which has felt really good. And I've felt really encouraged this week because, you know, owning a business is weird at times. Like sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's just the depths of despair. And there's most of the times it's like just floating in the middle of like, how can we get this better? Or like, this is not going so well, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times, especially when you run your own business, you feel like I can never catch up.
I think people feel that more than like sitting in the middle.
Yeah. I have so much to do.
like, in so many different areas
of life. Why am I doing everything last minute? And, and a lot of that is just the reality of running a business.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can't start filming with the t-shirts until they arrive.
And they don't arrive until so many days before
the collection. And it's like, well, we can't order them earlier because then our cash flow would get really out of whack.
Yeah.
And so there's always these, like, and so I've been really encouraged that for the first time in a long time, we have felt like we're the most prepared we've ever been. And so just an encouragement out there to the small business owners that listen, that keep developing the systems.
Yeah. And I'd say we've been working on those for what feels like almost a year.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me, basically like January of this year, we had some awesome big conversations that have trickled out into like little by little by little by little by little by little.
I feel like we're seeing a little bit of the fruit of that, which has been really kind of encouraging to me. And then the other thing I've been encouraged by is sort of having this palms open approach, hands open to the collection. Obviously, I have sales goals. I want it to do super well. But I just have to continue to remind myself that, like, Lord, you always provide. You are enough. So whatever happens, like, I want to put my best foot forward.
Yeah.
I want to try our hardest. I want to make sure that we produce an excellent product and excellent content and do all things well, at least to the best of our ability. But at the end of it all, Jesus, you matter more. And so I just want, like, I have felt that peace more with this collection than really I have all year. And so that has also been encouraging to me. But yeah, just go shop it. So today, so we're going to talk about guns, but it's really just this language. So we had visitors, butt clenchers who stayed with us, Shane and Becca. And one day we were talking and Shane mentioned this book called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And he was like kind of giving us a mini sermon on it.
Which we asked for.
It was like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we had to sit in rows. Yeah. So it was a little weird.
So it was weird that he, like, and then we took communion, he gave us communion.
And he took an offering.
Yeah, so that was weird. The offering part was strange, Shane. no, but he was talking about this book, and I was like, man, this sounds great.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, geared towards people in ministry, like pastors,
teachers. Yeah, I mean, it's literally on the title, but...
It's called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership, Seeking God in the Crucible of Ministry. So obviously I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor.
In that, yeah.
But, you know, we have a ministry for what we do on the podcast and with the t-shirts and the business and all this kind of stuff. Like our life, your life is a ministry.
Yes.
So, but especially when I'm thinking about making disciples, like I have three very important disciples I want to make that live in this house all day long. And they're my children.
Never stop
and
talking to me or touching me. Yeah. Those ones.
So, well, you have four that never stop talking or touching you. Get it?
I'm not pregnant. It's TJ.
Yeah. That was a husband joke.
Yeah.
And so I've started reading this book. I'm kind of getting through it slowly. Yeah. It's really good. And I'm definitely reading it with like the perspective of being a father and being a leader in my family, not necessarily like at a church or something, which has been really helpful. Like, I needed to name that at first or otherwise I'd have been like, this doesn't apply to me.
Right. And it totally does. Yeah, it totally does. It's just,
So Brooke was like, do you have anything you want to talk about? And so I highlighted this big section of this book. And so I'm going to read it and then we're going to chat about it.
Yeah.
I'll try not to cry while I read it, but I might. So just
be ready.
Just be ready. Okay. I saw a monk. Okay. I might butcher this name. Theophane, a Cistercian monk residing at St. Benedict's Monastery in Snowmass, Colorado, tells a striking story that beautifully illustrates such letting go. I saw a monk working alone in a vegetable garden. I squatted down beside him and said, "Brother, what is your dream?" He looked straight at me. What a beautiful face he had. "I would like to become a monk," he answered. "But brother, you are a monk, aren't you?" "I've been here for 25 years, but I still carry a gun." He drew a revolver from the holster under his robe. It looked so strange, a monk carrying a gun. "Are you saying they won't let you become a monk until you give up your gun?" "No, it's not that. Most of them don't even know I have it, but I know." "Well then, why don't you give it up?" "I guess I've had it so long. I've been hurt a lot, and I've hurt a lot of others. I don't think I would be comfortable without this gun." "But you seem pretty uncomfortable with it." "Yes, pretty uncomfortable, but I have my dream." "Why don't you give me the gun?" I whispered. I was beginning to tremble. He did. He gave it to me. His tears ran down to the ground, and then he embraced me. Most of us have a gun, some way of protecting ourselves and making ourselves feel safe. Hidden under the robe of our leadership persona, it is fairly easy to keep our gun hidden most of the time, but we know that it is there and that it is incongruent with the person God is calling us to be. We also know that if we were to go off unexpectedly, it would do great damage. We are uncomfortable living with it, but we are afraid to live without it. Sometimes we let ourselves dream of being free, of traveling without the need to pack a weapon. Holding on to our self-protective patterns is one manifestation of our unwillingness to surrender ourselves to God for the journey that is ahead. But there is another desire that is greater than our desire to be safe. It is the desire to abandon ourselves to God and the life to which He is calling us. It is the desire to leave Egypt and journey with others to the promised land. Sometimes we hear God's whisper, "Why don't you give me that gun?" We feel ourselves trembling with longing and with possibility, with fear and with hope. He waits quietly, patiently, and as we are ready, we give Him that behavior, that pattern, that sin that we have relied on all these years. Our tears running to the ground, at least for a moment, we let ourselves feel what it is like to be free. Mm. So I read that the other week, you know, weeping in the blue chair in our kitchen, longing for the offering I give to Shane to come back to me. And I was just like, it was such, you know, again, I feel like we've really focused in on the podcast. It's like we try to provide language that helps communication,
yeah,
you know, for a full life. And mm-hmm. So visual storytelling, visual representations of what's going on in our hearts and souls is always just so helpful to me. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of the question of what gun am I carrying mm-hmm. that might go off and do damage mm-hmm. is such a powerful one.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you have the juxtaposition of a monk.
I was going to say, when you picture it being kind of secretly pulled out from under this robe.
Yeah.
That is striking. Even just to picture that in my mind, like, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. That's not who you are. What? You know?
Yeah. And so I believe that we all have them, and we probably have multiple things that we all try to protect ourselves in
right.
10,000 different ways.
Yeah.
But there's probably a chair behind all of those ways. And mm-hmm. it's probably like four ways that we really try to protect ourselves, maybe even just one or two.
Yeah.
And so, when I read this to Brooke, she was like, "Well, what's your gun?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to think that I've given some of them up. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think that
I mean, you have. If we're going with the concept that, like, over your, at least since we've been married, like, that you've had multiple guns, I've definitely seen you give some up in life.
But I would say, like, the one that jumped to the front of my mind is one that I feel like I have gotten away with, was like this sort of like self-deprecating guilt humor mm-hmm. I used to run around with to protect myself. Mm-hmm. Brooke used to despise it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the one who called it guilt humor.
Yeah.
And said it wasn't allowed anymore.
Yeah. And so that's the one that, like, first was like, oh, which was like, I was encouraged that was the first thing that came to my mind that mm-hmm. was like, okay, I have had some really damaging behavior before. Mm-hmm.
That was a long time
ago. That's not been helpful to people I've been in relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And I, because of the grace of God and sort of the sanctification of the Holy Spirit and the accountability of my wife, have been able to give up those bad behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like encouraging that I was, but then as I started thinking about it more, I feel like the gun that I carry is the guns that probably most sevens carry. If we're going to, you know, if I go to the Enneagram mm-hmm. is the gun of distraction. Like, let me distract myself.
Distraction, which looks like consumption.
Yeah, like for a let seven. Me distract myself via consumption of media, you know, YouTube, entertainment, music, like mm-hmm. all the things in the name of not feeling my feelings, but also not being present to let others feel their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brooke's going through it, I want to go play video games.
Mm-hmm.
Brooke's going through it, I want to go watch TV. Mm-hmm. Brooke's going through it, I'm going to go work out. Like, the distraction through consumption is the gun that I carry most frequently to protect myself in mm-hmm. currently in life.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. Like,
right. Bottom line, yeah. I don't want to carry that gun.
And so when I picture myself, you know, I don't picture myself in a garden because I don't really like gardening, but if mm-hmm. I picture myself like sitting on the beach
mm-hmm.
and Jesus comes up to me and says, "Hey, you know,
are you in a robe?" at the beach?
No.
A monk robe or no?
No, I'm in my banana hammock.
Okay. Well, that's underneath the robe. Duh.
Yeah, it goes slippers, banana hammock, robe.
Yeah.
Sunglasses.
Right.
Shovel.
Yeah.
For digging my hole.
Yeah.
You know, and he comes up to me at the beach and asks if I want to put down a life of distraction and replace it with a life of intimacy.
Mm.
Hands down, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there can be these sort of like come to Jesus moments where I, well, like the story where like I give the gun up in the moment and it's gone forever. And obviously something that's physically tangible, that's very, you know, like,
yeah,
that's easier to do, but something that's more like emotionally based.
Yeah.
I think
like a behavior or a belief or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what I could do over time is slowly dismantle that gun over and over again.
So it doesn't work.
So it doesn't work.
Mm.
And, or so like, as I give away parts of it,
mm-hmm.
as the Lord sanctifies me, because like, it wasn't just one day I stopped doing guilt humor.
Right.
Like,
no,
it was a slow process over time that made me realize that it was self-protection. It was deflection. It wasn't it wasn't allowing me to live out of the fullness of my heart. It was just diverting attention.
Mm-hmm.
But that took time. And so I feel like with the emotional side of behavior and defense mechanisms and all those things that we use, I do feel like it's a dismantling of the gun through sanctification, and the parts are being delivered over time. If you could do it all at once,
I know,
God
I was gonna say,
you.
I think it might depend on what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you're,
I guess I'm just saying that because I want to encourage
people. Don't believe that if you can't give the whole gun away immediately, just keep holding it.
Because even me saying my distraction now, or my consumption via consumption now
mm-hmm.
is so much less than it was a year ago,
mm-hmm.
so much less than it was 2 years ago, night and day difference than 5 years ago. And so is it still something that I tend that my default muscle memory wants to go to?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But do I go to it every time? By no means do
right.
I. And so that's sort of why I'm saying like this, it can be this slow dismantle over time. And especially like, I'm not distracting myself from emotions anytime I want to watch a movie. Sometimes I just want to enjoy the entertainment of a movie.
Yeah.
And so
knowing which is which.
100%.
Yeah. And being honest with yourself and everybody else about it. Yeah.
What were your thoughts? Like, what's the gun that you're holding under your robe?
I feel like mine is probably, more in the like, beliefs, lies area. I don't feel like I have anything super literal that I could hand over or set down, or at least nothing comes to mind right now. I'm trying to think of what it's something like that actually
so like a
might
big one,
be.
A big one like that would be like pornography. Like if you are addicted to pornography, that is something that you are holding under your robe to protect yourself, to feel certain ways and that is something that you could it's not easy, but you could stop that, cut that out of your life, you know, and like step forward, like give that to Jesus, take it out from under the robe, let the light shine on it, see it for what it is, the sin that it is, all that kind of stuff, and pass it to the Lord for sanctification, for a new road ahead.
I'll just be super honest. I know I have a gun. I might have several. This language is fresh to me. And so I feel like I haven't sat on it a while, because usually I need to sit on it for a little bit. And then I'm like a week in, something will happen. And I'm like, there it is. Yeah. There's the gun. But the first thing that did come to mind last summer, remember I was up at Alyssa's and she was having that gathering, and we were like broken down into small groups, and we were asked the question, something along the lines of like, what is the lie you believe? And, I was sitting, when I was asked that, I literally felt like my mind went blank.
And you said that out loud.
And I said that after when it came to be my turn, I kind of rambled on that topic and said, like, I don't know. My mind is literally blank. I don't know. And then thankfully, Nicole spoke up she listened to that little whisper and said something, and she's like, that's the lie you believe, that you're blank, that you don't know, that you don't have an opinion, that you have nothing to say, you know, whatever, whatever. And as I've, it's over a year now that I've thought about that. I think a lot of the times when I mean, there are certainly times where literally I could answer, I don't know, I've never thought about that. Yeah. Like when a kid's like, how do volcanoes work or something? And I'm like, I don't
have babies.
I don't. Yeah, literally. I'm like, I don't know. I've never thought about that. now I'm going to be thinking about that. Thanks, T.
When a mommy worm loves a daddy worm.
Which worm? Anyway, like a lot of the times what I actually mean, but I don't let myself say when I say that, is that like, I'm actually afraid you're not going to like my answer or I'm not going to like my answer. I will be embarrassed or feel dumb. And so I've learned this behavior probably very young as self-protection of like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? What do you want to do? Insert anything. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
And like, again, sometimes, like you were saying, sometimes you do just want to watch a movie.
Yeah.
Sometimes I literally don't know.
Like how many years of high school you go through. Yeah.
Right. How does anyone know?
Yeah.
But we're all in the same boat there. But for the rest of us over here, I feel like, so to tie it all in, sometimes I think maybe the gun is this belief that I don't know, or the belief that like, I don't know myself well enough to kind of trust myself.
Mm.
And so it all swirls around in the same, like, do you really know what you want? Hey, speak up. What do you want? Oh, I don't really know. And then you add in motherhood and all the other swirls. And it's like, I don't know anything anymore. But also I actually know a lot of, like, and I'm not just talking like head knowledge. Like, I'm not talking about like facts. So I don't know anything. But the gun, when it goes off, that's what's going to make me cry. I knew it was going to happen in this episode. When I picture the swirling around, like, who I am, what do I want? Not in a selfish way, but in like a really genuine way. Like what is my identity? What does God say my identity is? Like swirling around all that. When I picture that gun going off, it looks like I think about it through the lens of motherhood. Like it looks like a mom who is doing exactly that. Doesn't know what she wants, is swirling. Like kids can feel that. They can feel the like, are you okay? Yeah. Like you don't seem like you're grounded. You kind of feel like you're floating. You're not super present. And so I think that can be super damaging if the gun was to go off, because it's either being modeled as like, you know, I mean, kids become who they are sometimes literally, and other times we mean that not so literally, but just like, yeah, I don't want to have that gun go off and be like, I don't know, mom seems stressed, or mom seems like not present, or mom seems like she wants to be somewhere else, or maybe like she is mentally somewhere else, like kind of that stuff. And so the only way to not have that gun go off is to not be holding that gun. Like, it's the only way is to set it down. I don't know. That was like a lot of swirl processing.
Don't do what you just said.
No, but I mean, like, I know there's a difference between the having clarity on what I'm trying to say, and I'm not negating what I said. Yeah. I'm simply saying, I don't know if that was the most clear version of what I'm trying to say, but.
And so with that,
does that make, I mean, like
100%,
cause it all like, it like the, issues. I don't like that word with like if I don't want to feel, if I start to feel that way and I don't want to feel that way, that's when if that's the inner circle right here, like the center of the bullseye, the next ring that comes out is control. Like if I feel out of control internally and I feel like I can't get it together inside, in my thoughts, inside, then well, if I can't control the inside, I'm going to control the outside.
Right.
And so that's when there's like that ring of the layer of like, wanting more control in the, which is a whole, I don't know if that's a separate gun. I don't know if that's part of it, or if it's just one of the bullets
or whatever.
I don't know. But
would you say that maybe the chair behind and like the sort of root of the gun is self-protection? You know, like you're protecting yourself, you know, and maybe that's the root of all of them. You know, like literally that's the metaphor.
I mean, protection.
Like,
yeah.
Because I want to protect myself. I want to protect my heart.
Yes.
From getting hurt.
Right.
And so I'm going to control all the things around me.
100%. Because I don't ever want to feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't ever want to feel later. Like, I don't ever want to feel regret. And I actually don't feel regret a lot. We've talked about that, how little I use that word or say that word. But like, not like an old man filled with regret, like that kind of thing, but more in like a, man, it is regret, but like, I wish I hadn't shared that. I wish I hadn't whatever, because now I feel like it's being used against me, or it was used,
It's protection.
It's 100% protection.
And that's what mine is too. Like I want to consume so I don't have to feel. And so the gun,
or so you don't have to think,
or don't have to think or feel or engage. And so that gun going off over and over again is like a distant, checked out TJ that doesn't live with his actual family and lives on an island by himself, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
And so if I put that gun away now, if I give that gun to Jesus, the next decade, 20, 30 years of my life, I'm fully engaged with my children on, and this is like an ongoing thing that I'm constantly doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would be like the monk giving that guy the gun and then like finding where he put it and be like, I'm just going to go grab it and carry it around for a little while. And then having to do that process over and over again. And I feel like that's sort of where some of this stuff will end up being for us until Jesus returns or we go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all in the name of protection. And so that gun going off even 10 times over the next decade, like if I can limit the amount of time that gun goes off over the next second half of my life or second, third of my life, I don't know how long I'll live. what a richer life I will have.
Yeah.
What a deeper relationship I'll have with June, Sunny, Daisy, and Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same is for you. Yours is very different though, because I often like, this is going to be a silly example, but I'm going to run with it, is I want Brooke to play pickleball with me so badly.
Mm-hmm.
But Brooke, in the name of self-protection, carries a gun of, I don't want to be embarrassed by how bad I am at it.
Yeah.
And so she won't play.
I don't want to be embarrassed in front of myself.
Yes. Or others. I mean,
it is both, but like there are times where I can be silly and I can be fun. And I'm like, oh, I don't care what anybody thinks.
And so when I think of the next 10, 20, 30 years of me not being checked out, consuming, I have a richer relationship with those around me. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about the next 10, 20, 30 years of you stepping on the pickleball court to play of life.
Oh, interesting. So specific.
Yeah. You know, or doing a cold plunge, or doing all the things that you're just like,
I'm just not interested.
Out of embarrassment or just, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like your life and your relationship with your kids is much more full.
Mm.
The jumping off a waterfall might be extreme because of your extreme terror of heights. But like you going under the waterfall is more full. Like you being able, and you have, since we've moved to Maui, you've stepped into more of that way of life than ever before. And it's been richer and fuller and more bright and more effervescent. How about that for a word?
Wow.
Yeah.
You went to 5 years of high school,
yeah,
didn't
I did.
You?
Yeah, I did. Actually, six. It's kind of a record. It's all the head damage walking downstairs.
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage
your book photo nickname, Slinks. I don't get it. I don't get it. Is his name Slinky? I don't get it.
And so I just would like, I love this language and I love this sort of daily reminder or like weekly or monthly talk we could have of like, is the gun in the rope, you know?
Well, that's just it. A lot of times, I mean, cause we're kind of sort of talking about a vice. We're kind of sort of talking about something hidden. Like, you know, there's a lot of different words you could use to name what we're calling the gun. But I feel like a lot of times when it's talked about, it's like, what's the thing hidden in the back of your closet that no one knows about? Like, it feels like this very hidden, secret, separate thing versus this thing that I am literally carrying on me right now. And it's under my robe.
Yeah.
But most people don't know.
Yeah.
Like it's
on
you. But
the ones closest to you do know.
Probably,
you
yes.
know, and
yeah.
they want you to put it down. They want you to put it away.
Yeah.
Not out of, not like, I don't need you to put that away because I'm afraid you're going to hurt me with it. Like, we are right. in a covenant relationship together that right. like, even if you do hurt me with it, mm-hmm. I'm going to forgive you. Even mm-hmm. if I do hurt you with the fact that I've checked out for a week and binge watched every yeah. show that's ever existed, like, you're going to forgive me. Like,
yeah.
I don't want you to put it down in the name of like, I just don't want you to hurt me with it anymore. I think that's very real for some people.
Yeah. Depending on
the
what it is.
The reason I want you to put it down
yeah.
is because I want that full effervescent life
yeah.
for you for the next 3 decades.
Yeah.
And I want that relationship that you could have with me, with your kid, with Daisy, mm-hmm. with Sunny, with June, all those years.
Yeah.
And if you don't put it down, or if I don't put it down, mm-hmm. that relationship will still exist.
Yeah.
It just won't be as full.
Right.
And so, like, let's take it out.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like, and again, this wasn't the full concept because they were literally talking about a monk who wears yeah. a robe, but it's like, there's part of me that feels like if I wasn't carrying the gun, would I even have to wear the robe?
Right.
Like in a, yeah. in like, let's take it a different direction. Like am I only wearing the robe, which is slowing me down? You know, probably not the most comfortable thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, am I only wearing that to hide the thing? And if I could set the gun down and give it up, give it to Jesus, you know,
yeah.
would I be able to, yeah. There's just like that idea of the robe being
idea
so
of just
like
living open and free mm-hmm. before the creator of heaven and earth,
yeah.
like with full hearts, full feelings, full emotions,
yeah.
full desire. And like, but also full of sanctification, like to walk with him hand in hand mm-hmm. through life.
Yeah.
And we have a trouble doing that when we have all this crap
yeah.
hiding under our robes.
Yeah.
And so like, as you take this conversation with your spouse or with friends or whatever, like mm-hmm. be honest about it, you know, like, like ask God to reveal
yeah.
to you what that gun is and what, yeah. what you're carrying. And honestly, like, pray for a vision of a ooh, life yeah. of what it would be without it, because that's sort of why I'm getting like kind of animated and fired up, is like, I can see the life that Brooke will have without that gun. And it is so good. It
right.
is rich. It is full. It is joyful. It is all the things that I as your husband know you deserve
mm-hmm.
and want to see for you. And so
right.
ask the Lord who will know even more so for Brooke
yeah.
than my small 5-year high school mind.
Yeah.
Ask the Lord to give you a vision of what that life would be without carrying that gun in that holster.
Yeah.
And hopefully he will.
Yeah.
And then start to walk that out.
Yeah.
And man, I think that there is such power in that. And that could just like this, it could be a place that 10 years from now you look back and you're like, man, what a turning point in my life that I was able to like have vision for what my life would be out like without carrying all that baggage, all that extra stuff, all those self-protective defense mechanisms.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, I'll end with the poem. So there's a poem at the end of every chapter. So I'll end with the poem
From this chapter?
From this chapter.
Okay.
Again, the collection is open October 1st through 10th. Go shop. Use the code 1,000,000, all spelled out, for an extra discount. Okay, here we go. Chapter, poem at the end of this chapter. O God, gather me to be with you as you are with me. Keep me in touch with myself, with my needs, my anxieties, my angers, my pains, my corruptions, that I may claim them as my own rather than blame them on someone else. O Lord, deepen my wounds into wisdom, shape my weakness into compassion, gentle my envy into enjoyment, my fear into trust, my guilt into honesty. O God, gather me to be with you as you are with me. Mm. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making us a part of your week. Okay,
I love you. Bye.
What are we doing?
It's on the wrong soundboard.
So great. What are we doing?
Take two.
Okay, I love you. Bye.